Well, what I was going to say is, I had an mountain experience where I went into the water like a waterfall, and I found a pass behind the water, and so I just kind of started walking on these paths in the mountain, and had like different climates in there. I mean, there were like different creatures. There was water like coming down mixed with like gold, and anyhow, pools of, there was just a lot of stuff. I don't have time to go into it all. But then I realized after I got so far on this path that it was coming from the top, and I realized it was actually coming from the throne of God, that all of this was like a trickling down effect, and all of this was coming from the throne. And anyhow, that was pretty, it was pretty intense. There were a lot of other things attached to it, but it was just, I was really, I don't know if I was shocked or just all of a sudden I was like, oh my goodness. This is coming from the throne. Everything, you know, attached to at the mount, you know, that attached to is there's life beneath it and there's life through it. And I realized that there were all kinds of paths. I haven't actually gone back to that place, but I know that I can, you know, but anyhow, I was just curious, have you had like in the mountain experiences like that?
I mean that waterfall experience, I've had a number of times, and I found that I went into a room behind the waterfall, like just like you're describing, and it was, I met Enoch in there, and Enoch gave me a quest, and I've led a several other people, and they've also had similar experiences around that. They found like a place beyond the waterfall that had alcoves in it with light in it and all sorts of different things. But I found that I've been back there a few times, and it's where someone else described it as a dialogue room where you get given information and dialogue and things and sent on missions and things like that. There's lots of different experiences. I think interesting when you sort of say, you know, it's flowing out from the throne. I've found that there are a number of actual thrones in the realms of heaven. You know, you have the sort of the classic Revelation 4:5, throne of God, thunder, lightning, four living creatures, seven spirits of God type throne experience. Then you have the throne mentioned in Daniel, where the river of fire comes out of that throne and cascades down, and around that, I found that the fire stones there and trading floors around that throne. Then, of course, you've got the throne of grace, which where you can come and find that intimate place of help and need. You also have got the temple throne mentioned, where you know you have the seraphim and the coals and the fire. And I've actually found, you know, and then you've also got the Holy of Holies and the tabernacle and the ark. And so in a sense, I've actually found that they're all different places and they all have different levels of engagement for different things. And you know, you have the river of life flowing out of the throne of God, connected up to the tree of life and the throne of grace. And then you've got, it mentions that in different places, it mentions the sanctuary as well as the tabernacle. So I found that there are lots of kingdom engagement places with thrones and with authority. The whole all have slightly different connotations, really, when I've been there, but they're all connected. Coming out, and everything does flow down. You know, you're absolutely right on that, because it is a mountain, and it's not like a mountain as we know it in the sense of Mount Everest is the biggest mountain we've got. You can look at this mountain from a mile away, and you couldn't see the edges of it. I mean, it's an enormous spatial sort of or non-spatial thing, and I think there's plateaus and gardens. The Garden of God is on that mountain. You know, there are rooms in the mountain. I mean, I've probably come across maybe 20 different rooms, and I've heard lots of other people describe rooms that I've never been in. You know, so there are lots of engagements on the Mountain of God and in the Mountain of God, and there are different levels in that mountain. You know, some I think there's the wine room that I found is in a deeper level in the mountain. Lots of different things. And as I've sort of tried to map it out and go back there and then find the protocols of how you're supposed to operate there, you know, I found they're all interacted. And the, certainly the ancient paths and the pathways, you know, that connection with Enoch for me, he walked with God. He walked those ancient paths, both here and in the realms of heaven. And I think there's a definite connection because when I went into that room behind the waterfall, Enoch basically said, I am going to send you on a quest, and your quest is to remove masks. And I'm thinking, that's a strange sort of quest. But it felt like, you know, almost like Lord of the Rings type, you know, you're going to be sent on this quest, on this mission, on this adventure. And I was a bit thrown by it at the time. And then Enoch said, and you will, once you've completed your mission, you will gain access to ancient knowledge and ancient weaponry and abilities with sound and light. So there's a lot of strange connections, I think, in the mountain and that are so much beyond where we've been. And the more you go back there, the more you can plot out, you know, how they work, what goes on there, as it also is obviously with the courts and the different courts and the different places. I mean, recently I've been going back to the Firestones quite a lot and had quite a lot of revelation about how the protocols of the kingdom work from a governmental perspective. Really interesting in terms of accessing the court of the councils of the fathers and seeing the father's throne, another throne there, and the 12 elders on the left and 12 elders on the right. And very interesting stuff. I'm sort of just pursuing it right now. And also, you know, I was taken with the whole thing of the Chancellor's Court and what chancellors do, and taken to see 12 high chancellors and saw their 12 rooms, or there are big doors on those rooms. I've only been in one of them, which was the Treasury Room and the High Chancellor being Melchizedek. I've yet to actually go in all the others, but once I do, I'll know I'm going to find a whole load of protocol of how things are chancellors work and how they administrate things from the kingdom. So a lot of very interesting things I think that God's revealing right now that are opening up a whole lot of possibilities for this, because ultimately, you know, the river of life flows out of the throne of God, and it flows down, and it flows, for me, I've seen it flow into the Garden of God and out of the Garden of God and come down into the realm of the kingdom of God. You know, and I once followed it all the way down. And of course, it comes through our spirit, through the kingdom that's in us and comes into us and comes into our garden of our heart and flows, supposed to flow through us, around us. So, interesting thing. But I actually followed it into the atmosphere of the earth and found that it's dammed up within the atmosphere of the earth with a huge dam waiting for that dam to be broken so that the river of life can flow onto the earth. When that happens, we're going to see an awesome move of the Spirit, because I could see it, you know, and we're just getting touches of it, but it's being held back for such a time as when we can administer that fully on the earth. And I think it's going to be an amazing experience when we encounter that in the future. But very interesting. And I think people like yourself, you know, are going to get more and more of these type of encounters, because they are governmental positionary encounters that are giving you insight into something more of how to engage on those pathways, you know, how to engage those ancient paths, and you know, those ancient paths also meet on Wisdom's Heights, you know, and there are gateways and doorways there which also take you into different dimensional places. Very interesting stuff. So I'd encourage you, go back, map it out, find out, you know, the protocols of how it works, and really go for it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting how this is kind of like a whole different prioritizing, where, you know, you just about have to make all of it the center of what you do. Because I'm realizing that, just like anything else, it requires a daily discipline. Also, I've noticed that over the years, I've used certain senses to tap into the knowledge of God, you know, hearing His voice or whatever. And so sometimes when I'm doing something, I'll have a tendency to just gravitate toward what I'm familiar with, or how I acquire knowledge from the Lord or whatever, and versus going into these realms of getting my, because I like even the waterfall and going into the mountain, it's like I'm going through an adjustment period. Like, first I'm like, okay, is this real? Is this really happening? And then I get through that and I'm like, oh wow, it is really happening. To adjust my senses and everything to a different environment, where normally, you know, I'll just like hear God, I'll sing, but differently. I guess it's, I don't know how to describe it, but just differently than this, differently than what I'm used to. And so it's just in a whole adjustment period. Saying all that to say that you just have to do it all the time to develop your senses. At least that's how it is for me, just in a tire different way. Yeah. And the more I do that, I also notice more conflict. I don't really give conflict much mind on a personal level, but I notice the intensity of conflict that I'll experience in different areas that I know is just related to engaging with God at this level, going into these places. And so I've had to adjust myself to that too. Just the whole governmental thing, you know, when Russia was experiencing, like, Putin was going to go into that whole thing with Crimea, you know, and eventually Ukraine, I really felt drawn by the spirit to go into this realm. I got a mandate, went to the mountain, just began to, because the Lord was speaking to me about peace. And I was just over that land, dealing with certain agreements and things like that. And I really felt when I came out of that, I actually had contacted a few other people to kind of join me in that. But I felt like it really affected the advancement that was going on over there with Putin, his decisions, and then all of a sudden it just stopped. And I knew the whole time that it had to do with agreement, that they were trying to develop agreement, and that if I could interfere with that, or you know just come against that spirit that was trying to do that, that it would disarm. So anyhow, learning more about how that's working, and just, you know, just the authority that we do have.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, a lot of, when you say readjusting, and it's true, many people are having heavenly experiences and engaging in different encounters, whether by visions or sort of engagement in the first person. But there's a big difference between having an experience and actually developing a pathway. And that's really why we need to go back to the experiences. We need to step into them. You know, when you walk the same path over and over again, you form that pathway. And that pathway becomes an engagement that you can step back into at will, rather than an involuntary encounter that something just happens. Mm. Like, so often God opens the door to something, we have an experience, then it's our responsibility to make that experience part of our normal everyday life. And so I found that going over and over and over the same pathways, walking back, meditating in there, stepping back into them, develop those pathways as a lifestyle, that now I can go to those places that I've been before, because they weren't just one-offs, they were developed. And now they're sort of second nature, they just are part of me, you know, because I have trodden them and they're mine, they're ingrained within my memory, within my spirit, everything is there active because, you know, I've developed it. And it does take a different way of thinking and a different sort of process, but once you've established it, then you operate by thought. You know, you can just step in and think yourself to a place. You know, that's how it operates. You walk there, you can go there. You know, and I've certainly developed the governmental side of that by, you know, presenting myself to God as a living sacrifice, going through the different realms of heaven to engage around the ark and just find that place where I can receive mandates, where I can connect up to my destiny and different things, because I've just done it over and over and over, you know. And, you know, most people aren't prepared to do it over and over, and so they have many encounters but not actually develop the pathways of, you know, voluntary engagement when we need to. And it takes discipline and the desire to pursue it above things we've pursued before. Because I think many of us are, once we've received this revelation, the old ways we used to do things, suddenly there's no grace on them anymore. You know, and we're responsible to use the revelation we've been given to live from that point in revelation, rather than, you know, as you say, gravitate to what we've done before. Because what we've done before, actually, as we mature, we find that childish things don't work any longer. You know, and God wants us to mature. So what he does is he actually removes some of what he used to do for us, and is basically saying, now you're responsible for doing that, because you have the authority as my sons to outwork that governmental authority, to outwork the things that we're doing. And so we're learning to do things from a heavenly perspective before we do things from an earthly perspective, so that we can administer these things, you know, with a fullness of authority from heaven to earth, you know. But we're just scratching the surface. I mean, I think, you know, when I look at what I've learned in the last 3 or 4 months, it was so much more than I'd learned in the last year. Just that things are seemingly accelerating, and I think if we're willing to pursue it, then the revelation is there for us, but we've got to be willing to pursue it, you know. You know, which is why, you know, developing pathways is so important. You know, particularly, you know, if you're called to any really sort of sphere of government, regionally or locally or nationally, you know, we may be very, very busy doing things, but we should never to be too busy to actually establish, you know, the heavenly mandates to be able to do those things. You know, otherwise we find that we're not coming from a place of peace or rest, and we're getting worn out, you know, simply because we're tackling things, you know, using old methodologies which no longer have any real grace or authority on them. You know, and God has, I think, brought us over the last 20 years through steps of revelation to get us to a point where we see the spiritual realm and the atmosphere and the dynamics that go on there, so that we can now deal with them from above, where we learn to see them from below, and now we're being taken above those things so we can administrate the kingdom above them and deal with them, you know. And I think a lot of it has involvement with angelic engagement, because a lot of the things that we try to do, actually it's the angels' roles to do a lot of those atmosphere of the earth engagements, to clear atmospheres and to change things. We just administrate those functions, send them to do their work, you know, like you were doing with you know, the, in the East, you're beginning to declare things, you're beginning to speak things. Well, when you begin to do that, angels start to listen and start to come around those things and begin to work with them. And when we actually then, you know, learn to work with a different canopy of angels, you know, we can then begin to understand what sort of angels we need to send in particular situations to deal with, you know, what's going on in the atmosphere. Because those people like Putin and others who are doing things on Earth obviously are being directed by what's going on in the atmosphere. And so if we can deal with that, then, as you see, as you say, almost things just changed. You know, and we're just learning right now. When we really understand how to administer these things, we will be able to change things significantly to bring transformation to the Earth.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
It is. You know, I think you're hitting it on the head in the concerning voluntary and involuntary. Because yeah. I find that a lot of people that I discuss this with, or, you know, this type of engagement with heaven and so forth, I think what they struggle with is that them having the ability to instigate it.
Yeah.
Where they just, you know, they're making the move to, you know, to move, you know, toward this direction, and then through, you know, the spirit, their imagination, their thoughts or whatever, engaging on that. So they have where they're normally just used to, okay, if the Lord shows up, then he'll just do it, or if, you know, more spontaneous, which I'm very spontaneous when I'm just flowing and doing it, whatever happens, I go with that. But there's also that other side where you have to be very deliberate. And I'm finding that this is kind of the, it's almost like, well, if that was really God, then I wouldn't be instigating it, he would. But yeah. Not realizing that he is instigating it, but he's just requiring us yeah. to take steps of faith and move in this direction and, you know, and encounter yeah. What we do.
But I think it is maturity. You know, I think that's what it's about. You know, many years ago when I first sort of began ministering to people, you know, I'd pray for healing, and, you know, I'd be asking God to heal the person. And then as I matured, I realized that God had given me authority to heal people. It's his power, but actually I exercised that authority. So I began to do what Jesus did and command healing and speak healing, and, you know, and so it changed. And my perspective changed with my maturity. And I think it's the same in these things. You know, in a sense, God gets our attention and he takes us into a vision or takes us into an encounter. But when you actually look at the invitation to John, it would come up here. John had to step into that was opened for him to come. You know, and in maturity, I believe, like Jesus said, you know, I'm under an open heaven. Angels are going up and down. You'll see that open heaven over me, as it was open over Jacob, you know, that time in his dream with the ladder. It's open. And so the invitation is always to come. And I think as we grow in that maturity, you know, we'll realize that we don't have to, you know, sons are co-heirs in the kingdom. Absolutely under the government of God and under his fatherhood and everything else, but co-heirs in the kingdom. And, you know, as we come to maturity, the things that he's placed within the desires of our heart and our destiny, we will begin to administer out of, you know, and obviously the purer our hearts get and the more transformation takes place in our lives, obviously the more flow there is with that. But I believe, you know, this is a big problem, and I think the enemy is going to try and use this to stop people engaging.
Right.
And try and stop them coming to that place of maturity where actually we are called to administer the kingdom that we've been given authority over. You know, Adam and Eve were given that authority originally. You know, go and be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. You know, it was given to them. Jesus has restored it for us, and I think now we need to start operating as sons in the fullness of what sonship really means, which I think is so much more than we ever imagined or thought.
Right.
And when we start allowing our spirit to really connect, it starts to birth things. It starts to bring things to creatively, because we're made in the image of God as a creative being. You know, it's not just God who gets to create things. He's given that within us, the desire to be creative. And I think, again, that there is so much more in terms of what is to come. You know, I don't know exactly how much of that is in this age, how much of it is in the age to come, but I know that there's more and more in this age that we need to learn how to engage with in that role of maturity. You know, and I don't class myself as mature. I'm learning, and I'm pursuing, and I know there's so much more to come. But you know, there are encounters that I've had which just show that, you know, God is beginning to trust us. You know, so many of the courts and judicial things in the realms of heaven are occupied by angelic beings, you know, creatures. Because we aren't, you know, and there are men in white linen that are involved in some of that, and some of those ancient ones, because we haven't stepped up to the plate, if you like. And, you know, right. I went to the Galactic Council, that Council of 70. First time I stepped in there, I couldn't even see. It was just the atmosphere and the light. I just couldn't even see. It wasn't bright as such. I couldn't focus on it. So, and when I went back again, I sort of became more accustomed to it, and I started to see who was there and what it was, and very much felt that God was saying, you know, each generation, just as David served the purpose of God in his generation, you know, there is a council for each generation that should be living and active in the realms of heaven, not dead and active in the realms of heaven, if you know what I mean. Actually, you know, we should be living in dual realms, administering at that sort of level. But because very few people have ever really engaged there, that council has been made up of others, but it should be made up for us. We should be, you know, not everybody, obviously there's only 70 on it, but there are other also things in the realm of the kingdom in terms of chancellors and other things that I believe God is going to release responsibility to those that are pursuing it. And you can say that, you know, the order of Melchizedek and God raising up a different order of government and how the government is going to work and how that outworks, you know, it's those really that have no genealogy, those who are not tied to their past, those who are free from the things that have influenced them, I think God is going to start to really begin to move. And those are the people who've been willing to be transformed, you know, proactively, you know, going to God saying, transform me, you know, purify my heart, you know. And I think as we move forward, we're going to see increases of that, those people who are called and have accepted the call and are released into greater dimensions of government. You know, I think so much more beyond even what I can imagine right now. I just got this feeling, because when I sort of started to engage the fire stones, which is in Ezekiel 28, that's where Satan was on the mountain of God, on the fire stones, and there were nine stones, and he had nine stones on his body to reflect out the revelation of the kingdom. And what he saw was that man was to be responsible for administering not just earth, but heaven and the realms of heaven. And he rebelled against that thought because he was losing his place. And obviously took a third of the angels with him into that rebellion. And as I stood on there the first time, very first encounter in heaven, you know, I experienced the fruit of God's spirit and what it was to be connected up with the character of God. But when I've been back there, I've found that there's been a deeper level of understanding of the precepts of God, the ordinances, the statutes, the commandments, the testimonies of God, just a different judicial understanding of kingdom government. And as I've been standing there, my mind has not been able to contain or even understand but my spirit has been like almost encoded with something that it's understood, and that is starting to lead me. You know, I still don't understand in my mind fully, but as I was on there, you know, an understanding of being a chancellor, you know, I got a deeper understanding of it, and that's what opened up engagement in that different courts and the engagement with the different chancellors. Now, I believe that God wants to prepare us for that sort of level of authority, you know, and you know, I know Ian Clayton's talked a lot about the 12 laws that come out of Jerusalem and the 12 laws that come out of Zion. And, you know, you have the 12 laws that will help us walk in his ways. You know, according to Zechariah 3:1-7, you know, we walk in his ways, and then we then begin to administer his principles, and then we begin to take charge of his house and charge of the courts, and we can have access to stand where he is. And there's a process of maturity to take us through to that place. But I found that standing on those firestones, the 12 laws of Zion began to just start to give me some insight into them, because I've never heard Ian talk about them. And as I sought God about them, you know, I said, well, what are they? You know, I understand what the ones are to help us walk here, the law of faith and the law of love and the law of sowing and reaping and different things. But these were all governmental things. They were all about how to administer governmental authority. And I believe those 12 laws are going to be released, and revelation of them is going to be released by wisdom. You know, I was talking to a guy the other day in one of the hangouts, Peter from Atlanta, and he said he had a real encounter where he was in a vision, and he saw wisdom, and wisdom basically said that she was going to make an announcement that was going to shake foundations of things, you know, an announcement of a new dimension. And I was really excited when I heard what he was saying, because I thought, yeah, I can see it. You know, as I've been into those realms, you know, that dimension of government and understanding about how to govern and how to law, and those 12 laws, which are about the household of God, about Mount Zion, I think we're on the verge of really breaking through, and I think he's looking for people who are willing to step up and to embrace those things, and then begin to learn how to use those things. You know, because you just don't happen by chance. You know, you have to learn the protocols of those things. When I first went into some of the courts, I just observed, and I was just like, "Oh, no idea. How does this work? No idea." And then I learned how I could go back to wisdom and ask her. You know, Proverbs 8, you know, I think it's 14:16 there, talks about wisdom helping us to rule. And helping us to rule with righteousness and justice, and how to establish kingship and being princes and also nobles and establishing government. And I just think we're on the verge of a huge breakthrough in the revelation of that coming, which I think is really, really exciting. So, you know, when I hear testimonies of things you've been sharing, it's like, I think, yeah, this is just part of it. You know, it's part of it, which is awesome for me. You know, I think it's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. What about you, Rick? Henry was there, but it looks like he had to leave. You got any comments, Rick, or questions? Or?
Oh, yeah, I do. I have a question. A couple of Sundays ago, I was at a church, and the leader there had a word for me that I would be given strategies for regents and regional strategies. And we had a home meeting Saturday night. He's in his 30s, alcoholic, drug addict with diabetes, continues to use all this stuff, very depressed. And she was kind of upset about an incident. She asked if I would call him, and I said no. She wanted me to call him right now, and I said no, I'm not going to do that right now. And she kind of resented it. But as we began our worship and so forth, suddenly was in a, it was like a place that it seemed dark there. I couldn't see anything around me, but then this individual appeared with a scroll and just declared just not guilty. And it was like in a courtroom, but it was like he was just practically shouting it out. And I knew that, or felt that that was in reference to this young man named Jonathan. And so we began to just declare not guilty in our group. Then I saw Jonathan in this area that was lit up. And there were like four angels or beings that were putting a robe on him and a crown on him. And his face had this, it was just a smile. It was like he just got the revelation of Jesus Christ for the first time, what that really means in his life. And there were tears of joy just streaming down his face. I feel like that's taken place in his life for real, even though we may not see that in this realm yet. But then I begin to think, is that the strategy that I've been given?
Am
I just trying to put stuff together?
I don't think there are no coincidences in the kingdom. So yeah. I think when you have someone have something released over you like that, you know, the key then is to take that back into the realms of heaven, and then go to the court of strategy, you know, the court of war. You know, get that mandate authorized. You know, there's a process. You know, you can go to the court of chancellors and you can get that scroll sealed, you know, for you, and the mandate you've been called, the regional mandate. You know, and then you can take that to the court of the strategy court, and you can get strategies, and then you can take it to the angels courts, and you can get angelic assignment associated with it. You know, so you get a confidence in that this has been agreed, and then you begin to learn how to administer it. And you know, in a sense, what you saw was before. So you stepped into the realm of before. So you were looking into that person's destiny. And so the strategy is to speak out of that place of destiny. So you call it forth, you speak it, you know, as God did. You call things that be not as if they are. It exists within the heart and the counsel of God for that young man to come into his destiny and to engage in what you've seen. But one of the strategies that he may be giving you is to call that into being, to speak it forth. You may need to shift things that are in the way and obstacles, and you'll find that as you spend more time meditating around that strategy, in around the presence of God, in around the arc of his presence, you'll begin to engage it from the four faces of God. And there's an understanding of those four faces. When you step into his presence and you begin to look from his presence, you'll start to see from the kingly perspective. And so you'll see what needs to be ordered now, because kings look to order things now. You see things from the prophetic perspective, in the what is to come, and the apostolic perspective of how to bring those together in a blueprint. And then you also see it from the priestly perspective, and you see that from the perspective of people and how it engages people with compassion and different things. Once you begin to put those together, then you can start administrating those things in the fullness. But it takes some time. You know, it takes some time to look how to engage in it and how to work out of it. But I would say, you know, God is calling you. He's released something, and now he's encouraging you to step in and begin to see how this stuff works. You know, because authority has to be administered, you know. So, you know, I wouldn't say there's any doubt that, you know, there are angels involved in it. As you say, four angels. You know, look to see that angelic involvement and look to see how that outworks in engagement. But exciting, you know, exciting. You know, God's obviously, he's calling you. Accept it and go for it, you know, pursue him for it.
We did was we, once we realized we were in a realm of his presence, we invited in the spirit Jonathan to be in that presence with us to experience that encounter.
Yeah.
I don't mean literally like he was at home and we were in our living room, but we felt that we could bring him into that atmosphere and just allow the glory and the presence to minister to him. And that's kind of what triggered the events, the not guilty and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but you have the authority. If you've actually been called and given that, you have the authority then to administer that ongoingly. So you can, from your mountain, you can begin to bind him to his destiny. You can begin to prophesy out of his destiny and call his destiny forth. You can release forgiveness so that the enemy, which blinds his eyes because of the sin that he has in his own life, you know, by releasing forgiveness from that place, particularly I found that it works later at night when people go to bed, because when you start to administer forgiveness, then the enemy's got no access and the Holy Spirit's got access all night until they wake up and until they start doing it, so that there's a process there that you can begin to speak into and call forth and prophesy. But if you do it from a position of in the realms of heaven, then you can administer it on earth. And then you can see, as you look more closely, God will maybe show you some of the hindrances, the blockages. You know, you can go to the court specifically, deliberately on that man's behalf, and you can ask, standing in the gap in an intercessory role, priestly role, you can actually ask for his accusers to tell you what the accusations are against him, what familiar spirits are operating, what are the accusations against him. Now, sometimes that might be generational as well, but you can get that information, and then standing on his behalf, you can accept the guilt of the accusations and then release the judgment of God, which is righteousness for you, and then release that judgment of God out against his accusers to loose their hold in his life. And you know, you can consistently do that to see change and transformation.
I got disconnected for a little bit. I thought it was you, and I kept waiting and thought, oh no, I think it's me. I've noticed that I think Ian, I remember a few years back, he made reference to about prior to maybe certain experiences, learning to separate soul from spirit and so forth. And I think one of the things that I've learned is that, because like my soul, when I'm engaging, it feels like a real part of all of my engagement. In the sense, there might be things that,
yeah,
in the soul realm I'm not comprehending.
Yeah.
But it seems like maybe the separation feeling is because my soul is no longer governing. It's no longer leading the way, but my spirit is leading the way.
Absolutely.
And therefore, it's like my soul's going along with the ride, and whatever can be ciphered, whatever can be, you know, transferred, you know, into my thinking later or whatever in the moment, then that happens. But I just want to know what you think about that, because you know, there's a lot of controversy about separating soul from spirit and so forth. And yeah. I just, you know, I'm more inclined to think, well, it's just one governing and taking the leading role, and versus letting the other, you know, do that.
Well, to me, it's like God does not want our soul and spirit separated. He wants them united and made whole, fully functioning together. But because the soul has been in charge, and because the soul has drawn most of its meeting its needs from the outside, it has acted independently of the spirit and has connected to the spirit to feed its independence. So the only life that we have within is from the spirit. The spirit is what contains the life. And so the soul is drawn from the spirit, even though the spirit was separated from God, it still contains life. And so the soul is drawn from the spirit, and that's what we call soul ties. And so the separation is really only to separate those soul ties, those negative connections where the soul has operated independently. And when you sever them and you open that the spiritual gates, it is so the spirit can engage the soul, and so that the soul would begin to realize finding its needs met from the inside out. So as I'm joined in spirit with the Lord, and my spirit and the Lord together engage my soul begins to pant after the living God, because it realizes that all it sought from the outside world was a pale imitation of the reality of the life that comes from God, flowing from the inside, flowing out of heaven, that river of life that's flowing. The source, I'm drinking living water, and it becomes a river that flows into the garden of my heart, that engages my soul, that brings wholeness, so that my soul comes into complete alignment, so that my conscience is guided by reverence and the fear of the Lord, so that my imagination is flowing through faith and through revelation, so that my reason is not my mind trying to reason, me reasoning together with God, and his reasoning and thoughts coming into my mind as a creative flow of spontaneous thoughts. My soul is involved in all that in a positive way, because my emotions are in my soul. My reason is in my mind. My imagination is in my soul. So it has to flow together. And so the separating is only, to me, just an initial process to make sure that my soul is not operating independently. And then right. I dealt with, for me, I did really go to town on dealing with everything in my soul that had been influenced from the outside and had created independence and had set up its own way of meeting its own needs. And so I had to do a lot of repentance and renouncing of the way my soul had met its own needs, how that had affected my conscience, and therefore my conscience would lead me astray because it was meeting its own needs through the source that it's prepared. So as I separated it all, now I find that my soul and spirit are just becoming more and more one, because I've dealt with a lot of familiar spirits that were operating with the lies and the mindsets and the memories, and I've worked through those things. Now it's like everything operates within the realm of my soul, but as you say, guided and directed and governed by the Holy Spirit and my spirit together, working together in unity. And so, I speak to my soul every day and say, right, line up. Because blessings coming your way from the inside. And so my soul is looking to the inside now, not the out. Because I'm looking at the world from an inside-out perspective rather than I'm looking at the world from an outside-in, seeing what can meet my needs and how I can engage the world is different. But it's taken, quite a lot of time to develop that. But I believe what you're saying is absolutely right. They should be together in unity, because there's no division in God. He wants everything in wholeness, in shalom, in peace. We just have to do some work to bring them together and integrate them. And there are obviously some ministries that help integration. Sometimes we're stuck in our emotions in certain areas, and bringing integration and, restoring the fragmentation that's happened within us brings wholeness. Therefore, our spirit and soul work together. So for me, I think some people have misinterpreted what Ian is saying as that our soul and spirit should be divided. No, our soul and spirit should be united. It's just you have to do some work, separate the negative side so that the truth can come together and work together. Because Adam and Eve had no self-consciousness apart from God. It was all in the context of their spirit and God being together until self-consciousness came in apart from God. And we just have to restore consciousness in complete union and oneness with God, so that we can flow together as a whole, you know. But if that, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I've noticed that sight, hearing, you know, a knowing, it almost seems to blend. Like, you know, see, how do I say this? Where I used to say, if I see something, it's the same as knowing something, it's the same as hearing something.
Yeah.
And so it seems like in that realm, it's like all three of those senses kind of mesh together. So if I hear something, I actually can see it. Or if I just get knowledge of something, I can see it or hear it. You know, like it's, I mean, I find that more and more to be the case, especially going, you know, engaging like this. What are your thoughts on that as far as?
Yeah, I believe that's absolutely correct. It's about perception, because our consciousness has the power to affect everything around it. And God has created us with that ability to affect things for change, transformation. And so learning that all our senses are involved in our relationship with God and his communication to us, I think is important. And I think a lot of people strive to see visually, where the actual word see is not just visual, it can mean perception. You know, and we use it that way in the English language. You know, I see. When we understand something, when we perceive something. And so I believe it's like learning to connect up with the frequency of God will enable our senses to come together. And it's exactly what I've trained myself to do. So when I look into the realm of the spirit and I'm looking to see, I don't visually actually get an awful lot. When I'm looking into the spiritual unseen realm around, but I can describe exactly what's going on there because my spirit knows and is communicating to me in a frequency or with information that my mind interprets. And I can instantly say, there's this angel here, it's colored this. No, I am not seeing it as a vision, but it's just as effective because my spirit communicates that way. I'm not sure it's with everybody. Maybe some people do see things differently. I do see an awful lot. You know, when I get an encounter, I can choose to engage vision, if you like, but I found I don't need to. Because knowing something is better than seeing something and not knowing what it means.
Right.
You still need interpretation.
Yeah, that's right.
You see something, you need interpretation. So it's better to get all the senses working together, so that even when you do see something, you know what it means, you know where you are, and that, you know, it all operates in the same place within the mind. You know, our imagination, that screen is the place where it works, whether that is visual, auditory, or just impressionary perception, knowing, it's all there. And because God's given that capacity to us to be able to engage in consciousness around that, and as we learn to connect with him, everything starts to vibrate together, if you like, resonate together. So we resonate with it, our spirit resonates with it, our soul and body begins to resonate with it, because we're designed to be amplifiers of frequency, if you like. It's just we get to see at a higher frequency than our eyes can see and our ears can hear, because our spirit can pick up bandwidths of electromagnetic frequency, if you like, beyond that, which our eyes can see. So actually knowing something is at a higher level than just seeing it or hearing it, but they all work together.
Right.
To develop them and practice it, you know, and it takes time, but we can train our senses to engage and see and experience if we practice and practice and practice, because they get better, you know. And I think part of the problem is some people are gifted in that they are seers, or they have a distinguishing of spirits gift, or just, you know, that type of gift. But all of us have the capacity to engage, and all of us can step in and learn how to do it. And I think, you know, you're expressing that. You know, I don't know how many times I've said to people, look, don't strive to try and visually see something. Just let your spirit engage it.
Right.
Because the revelation that comes is what's important. The perception is what is the key. You know, and that comes by our spirit engaging with it and coming into a resonance with it, that then we learn how to interpret. And it, yeah, it's practice, but the more you practice, the easier it seems to get, you know. And I think it's probably true for everything, you know.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to get going, but
yeah.
I just want to say, Mike, that it's good to have you back. And I just really feel that it's like a little fire, you know, a little flame just starting to burn. But I can just see all this that you're doing via the hangout and so forth, and how just this massive flame of fire is just going to really just start, you know, burning in people and just really just ignite some things, you know, in a big way. So I just really appreciate you and just your obedience and you know, willingness to just respond to for how the Lord's leading you. It's really helped me, and I know it's helping others as well. Also, too, I think it helps me in the sense of things that I've engaged with for a while, but bringing them, homing them in, and so that you can be more accurate in the sense of what you're doing and the things that you can, that are available that maybe, you know, we just weren't aware of that was available. Or comments that you made about visiting a place and not just leaving it, but going back, realizing that it's just the beginning of many other things. And I find that most people that I talk to, they'll talk about an experience or something they've encountered 2 years ago, 3 years ago, or whatever, but you don't hear much about revisiting those particular things over and over again to where it just becomes part of your every DNA interaction. And so I really have appreciated that, because it's really encouraged me to go back to, which I'm discovering it's really easy to do that once you know that you can do that.
Yeah.
And it's just readily doing that again and again. So anyhow, I just thank you for bringing that to light, and it's just been really great.
Excellent. You're very welcome. And no problem.